Let's get started. Good afternoon. Everyone still up and running? Yeah? Starting to get tired, maybe? So, in the next 45 minutes, I'm going to be talking to you about this topic, mobile DevOps continuous integration between Xamarin and VSTS. So we're going to see the whole setup that I personally use for projects that we automate, both in builds, as well in distribution, as well as in testing, for some mobile applications that we built with Xamarin. And we're going to use for that VSTS, or Visual Studio Team Services. So my name is Serge Clairen. I'm coming from Belgium, where I work as an architect for mobile applications at Ordina. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me afterwards. So my data is on this slide here. So via Twitter or via email, feel free to contact me at any time. I'm also a Pluralsight author. I have quite a few courses, including courses on Xamarin. If you are interested in learning more on Xamarin, I have 3 courses on setting up Xamarin applications, iOS, Android, architecture, that kind of stuff. If you do not have a subscription, I have 3 subscriptions here, so afterwards go forward and I can give you a free subscription. So this is the link if you want to see those courses. So what are we going to be doing? I'm going to, since we only have 45 minutes, I'm going to limit the general part to the absolute bare minimum. I'm going to briefly give you an idea on why DevOps, mobile DevOps, let's say, and Xamarin is a good idea and is actually how you should be doing your mobile development today. And we're going to briefly see how Microsoft has answered that question using VSTS. That's going to take us between 5 to 8 minutes or so. And then we're going to dive in the meat of the presentation. First, I'm going to show you very briefly what you need to do to set up Visual Studio Team Services. We're going to see in much detail how I do the continuous integration and continuous build for both iOS and Android. It's not that simple to get it all set up. There's quite a few things that you have to take into account. I'm going to show you those steps. We'll take a look at the testing part as well, so unit tests, test cloud integration, and then we'll finish off by taking a look at the integration with Hockey. So I use personally Hockey quite a lot for both the beta distribution as well as the monitoring of the apps that we built with Xamarin. So that will be towards the end of the talk. So without further ado, let's get started and let's first see the general part and why do we need something like mobile DevOps. Mobile DevOps and Xamarin, it's a bit hyped, it's a bit of a buzzword that you hear it quite a lot. Why do we need to do DevOps and how is DevOps going to be the solution for our problems? When we look at mobile, I don't think I have to explain to you that we have a really fragmented ecosystem out there. Mostly Android is definitely a concern. In 2014, there were about 18,000 different Android devices out there. 18,000. Last year, so 2015, that had already increased to 25,000 different Android devices available on the market. That's crazy numbers. So it's really difficult for us to deliver a mobile application to our customers that works on all those devices. It's pretty hard to have a device for each of those different models out there. And of course, not only the devices are a problem on Android, Apple also has at this point 31 devices that actually are within the target that we should be testing. Do not forget iPod touches are still used. There's numerous iPads out there, so that's already about 30 or so different Apple devices that we need to test on. And add to that the different operating systems which are out there, Android 5, 6, 7, they're all being actively used. So the ecosystem is divided, as you can see here. It's increasing every year, so the amount of devices out there is increasing every year. So it's becoming much more difficult to build mobile apps. On the other hand, we have our users, and our users always, every year, have high expectations of those mobile apps. They don't care that we as developers have a difficult life. They don't really care. They want to have that the applications that we build run well on the devices that they got for free with Cornflakes, right? That's the situation that we're in right now. Everything has to work perfectly on every type of device. And on top of that, the systems that we are building, mobile apps are not just consumer-facing small applications anymore. No, they are basically the view layer, the top layer of an integrated system. Think of mobile workforces. The applications that you build are actually views on top of complex systems that introduce more error possible errors. So it's getting more complicated and more complicated to make sure that we build good applications that get in the hands of the users really quick. If you look at this statistic here, is something that I think it was a Gartner research, if I'm not mistaken, that actually showed that 65% of users stop using the app after it failed on them twice. And 8% already will abandon the app even if it only fails once. So you do not get a lot of chances to make sure that the application runs well on the devices of the user. Now, how can we basically fix this? How are we going to make an end to this bad situation? Now, I'm not going to present you the Holy Grail because I do not think there is a Holy Grail, but I do think that there are solutions that will make the life of mobile developers a bit easier. And I think DevOps is definitely a step in the good direction because we see that when we apply DevOps to the way that we distribute and build our mobile applications, things are lightening up a little bit. So what do we mean with DevOps? I assume that everyone has heard the buzzword DevOps, the integration of developers and the operations guys within the company, and they will work together to build and distribute the applications and bring them in the customer's hands. That's what we want to achieve with DevOps. It's not only it's not just a hyped word, it's basically, well, it's a change of culture. People have to start thinking in a different mode to basically being able to enter this DevOps-driven world. It's not something that always goes very smoothly. We've seen transitions in companies where it's not always that easy to make the change to a DevOps world. It's something that moves in a very slow way, but it will end up giving you more reliable distributions of your applications. The advantages are definitely a lower time to market, as well as higher customer satisfaction. How are we going to achieve that? Well, I'm going to show you in the second part of this presentation how we can actually make sure that the applications that we build are in the hands of the users much faster. Normally, typically, let's say, the companies would actually release an application every 3 months or so. But 3 months, if you look at that statistic, is way too long. Don't leave a faulty application in the user's hands for 3 months because they're going to abandon the app, definitely. You do not want that. You want to make sure that your application, your updated application, gets in the user's hands much faster. That will result in higher customer satisfaction because maybe we're monitoring everything. We'll see later on how we can do that. And if we monitor crashes of our application and we see on one device it starts crashing, well, maybe we can implement a fix and get it to all other users before they've even encountered that crash, which will give a higher customer satisfaction and better user experiences. And it doesn't really stop there. There's many other things that will that we will benefit from. A better team morale, faster to production, more safely because we're testing everything, better feedback because we're going to see if things start crashing, why they are crashing. We'll get crash reports. We can actually get reports and automated reports on how things are doing when the application is in the user's hands. Many, many benefits that will result in higher quality software. Yeah. That's basically the goal of DevOps, mobile DevOps, let's say. Microsoft has an answer to making sure that we as developers can easily move into a DevOps-driven world, and that solution is VSTS. Visual Studio Team Services, or VSTS, basically can help us in achieving the goals that we want to achieve. And what do we want? Higher or lower, let's say, delivery cycles, faster delivery cycles, making sure that we have a higher availability, higher testability, and in the end, better mobile apps that we are releasing to our customers. These are some slides that are typical from Microsoft. I've stolen them from a Microsoft presentation, and you see that they're not in the regular template. In the DevOps-driven world, or let's say in the Microsoft solution for DevOps, there's basically two options that we have. We can do everything in the cloud-based version, that's VSTS, or we can do everything on-prem. Everything I'm going to show you today works on both environments in I think 99% the same way. So there's not going to be any difference if your company is still using the on-prem version, so Team Foundation Server, or if you want to move to Visual Studio Team Services, well, everything is going to be exactly the same. I'm going to show everything with VSTS. And so in a DevOps-driven world, well, basically there's four or five steps in the life cycle that we are going to be seeing. And you're going to see them be reflected in Visual Studio Team Services tooling. So everything starts with a plan. You start planning the software. You start building out the sprints and the work that needs to be done. Then you start developing it. You start building the software. You start coding. And you start also with the testing. We'll see testing later on in this talk as well, when we look at unit testing and integrated testing for the UI with the Test Cloud. Once you're there, you can actually start the release. And that also can be automated. We can do releases using Hockey App. We can do releases internally, so beta testing, as well as automated releases to the store. And when the application is in the user's hands, then we are going to be monitoring. We're going to see what the application is doing. Is everything working correctly? Is it crashing? And we are going to learn from that, and we're going to take those things into the next cycle. So you're going to end up with a life cycle for your mobile development. So here are the steps in a bit more detail. So first, the plan and track. You start with the plan, then you start developing. You actually start building the code. You start unit testing it. You start writing other integration tests on it. Then you start releasing it. We're going to see the releases up until releases with Hockey App. So you're going to see how you can actually get the application in the tester's hands. And then you start seeing what goes wrong with integrated monitoring and feedback. So those are the things that we are going to be seeing in this presentation. All right. So without further ado, let's dive into the most important part, the technical part for this presentation. I'm going to start by showing you everything, the full life cycle that I've just shown you, applied on a very simple application that allows us, and actually the use of the application is pretty limited. It's this application here. I hope that's visible for everyone. Let's see if I zoom in. So the application is very simple. Ah, you don't see it. That's not good. Duplicate. There we go. So let's zoom out again. There we go. So the application is pretty simple. You see this update available. I'll come to that later on. Going to ignore that for now. The application, and that's also why that Christmassy picture is over there, the application can check if it's Christmas already, and as you can probably guess, that is not the case. And we can also send feedback in the application, and the application, oops, there we go, and the application has also a very interesting button, crash this application now, which will typically crash the application. So this actually, what the application does is really not of any importance here. We're going to see how we can actually automate the entire build and testing of this application. So let's go back to the slides. And these are the next six steps that I'm going to be showing you. First, setting up Visual Studio Team Services for the people who've never done that, very briefly. What is it? Where can you get it? How do I get started with this? And then we're going to see how I can do the continuous integration for both iOS and Android. You'll see that that actually requires quite a bit of work to get everything set up correctly. We'll add unit tests. We'll test with Test Cloud. We'll deploy to our beta testing team with Hockey App. And then we'll see how we can monitor what is happening with the application again with Hockey App. So first, setting up Visual Studio Team Services. And we have to start somewhere, so we have to set it up. How can you get started with it? Well, if you're an independent developer or if your team is small enough, you can actually get started for free. You create a Visual Studio Team Services account, and you can get started. We'll create the project. I'm going to show you how to do that in just a second. I recommend for Xamarin applications to use Git as your source control. Pretty logical, because definitely there's going to be people using a Mac on your team, and Team Foundation version control is not well supported, so you should actually be using Git on the Mac. So select Git for your team project, and then you can start coding. So let's start by taking a look at how we can do this. I'm going to give you a very small tour of Visual Studio Team Services. So first go to, and let's open an incognito window. You first go to visualstudio.com. and they've just recently changed the site, I think last week. You go here to Visual Studio Team Services, and there you can actually get started with a free account, as you can see here, get started for free. You click there, you log in with your live account, and you can actually get started. When that's finished, completely for free, you arrive in more or less this interface here. And I'm going to show you the different parts of this interface. This is the landing page, not very interesting. The first thing I'm going to be doing is I'm going to create a new project. And like I said, for the new project, did I click on that button? I don't think so. Why is it so difficult to click on this new button here? Let's try that again. There we go. So here I can enter the details of the project. I'm creating a team project. Give it a name. Give it a description. The process template, typically you'll use Scrum. And then like I mentioned in the slides, I recommend using Git here as your version control because this is supported everywhere, both on Mac and on Windows. So Git is definitely the way to go for your source control. When that is all finished, I'm not going to do that here because it takes a couple of minutes. When that is finished, you'll end up with your project here in this list. All right? That's VSDS getting started in a nutshell. And when your project is ready, you can actually click on that project here. And then you arrive here on the, let's say, landing page for your particular project. This is actually an editable page. You can add some more widgets here. But more importantly, what we are going to be focusing on are different tabs here at the top. And we're going to see how they integrate in our lifecycle. There is this work tab here. The work tab is typically containing the sprints with the work items. The stories can be added here. So I can add a product backlog item. Click test here. And then the product backlog item gets added. And I can add work items to these individual items here. As you can see, these are different tasks that I can add. This is typically the planning of your work that you will need to do. This maps back to that life cycle that we've seen. It's not really related to what we're focusing on. Then we have the code tab here. The code tab contains, well, the code, pretty logical. This gives me a full in-browser editor even, so I can even go to the core project here, and I can start editing my code files here in the browser as well if I would want to do that. Click on edit. The internet seems to be pretty slow, but I can even edit here in browser. Typically, you don't do that unless for a small change. And then we have the very important build tab, and that build tab contains so-called build definitions. Then there's also still, and I'm not going to be having the time today to show you these, but there's two more tabs. There's an integrated test tab where you can do more specific types of testing. And there's also the release tab. And actually, the release tab, you can say, well, this should also be part of this presentation. Yeah, that's true. But I don't have time to show you that. Huh? The release tab allows us to do release management. And with that tab, we can actually set up the publishing of our completed build completed build versions that automatically will deploy to the Android Play Store or the Apple App Store. You can actually go from there as well. We won't have time for that, so I'm going to limit myself to build and integrating with HockeyServe for the testing and the monitoring. All right, but we're here on this build tab here. Now, like I said, the second block in our little tour here is a very important one. Continuous build, continuous integration for both iOS and Android. I assume most of you are familiar with the concept of continuous integration, and the fact that when someone checks something in, that it will automatically get built. So we have a build server built into VSDS, and to set things up there, we have a couple of, we can actually create a so-called build definition. And that build definition contains a couple of build steps. We can actually get started from scratch, but if you go in Visual Studio Team Services, you'll see here when you say that you want to create a new build definition that you have integrated there a build definition for Xamarin iOS and Xamarin Android. You can get started from one of these templates. Of course, for iOS, you take the iOS one, and Android, you take the other one. When you click on that, you will get something which is similar to what you see here. And this list here on the left, it shows a couple of build steps that we as developers, to get everything set up, need to configure correctly to make sure that our continuous integration will work fine. Now, Let's dive into Android in a bit more detail. And I say Android is the easy one because Android is actually a bit easier to get started with to set up the automated build. These are the steps that you will be needing. I'm going to show you these in a bit more detail in the demo. And when you have everything set up, then you can actually click on that queue build and it will start doing a build for you. So you can select, as you can hopefully read here in the middle, you can select the branch that you want to build. You can possibly add some extra variables here. You hit OK and then you can actually start building. What I'm using for the Android build is the hosted agent. So I'm actually using the agent within Visual Studio Team Services. If you want, you can actually set up in Azure a build agent that can do the builds for you. You can actually do that as well. But I'm using simply the built-in agent here. It places it in the queue. When an agent is available on Visual Studio Team Services, it will actually start building. You can see whatever it is doing. The build is running, and hopefully after some time, you will get a build succeeded message. Well, let's take a look at this in a bit more detail. So for Android first, let's go to the browser. So I'm here in the build tab, as you've seen before, and I will click here on the Explorer. Let's go here. Maybe I should put the font a bit bigger. There we go. So what I have here is first the ability to create a new build definition. And like I've mentioned in the slides, there is a template for Android and iOS. The network is extremely slow now. That's not fun. Let's try that again. There we go. So here you see the Xamarin Android and the Xamarin iOS built-in template for the build definition. You can create, you can actually start from these. They already contain more or less the correct steps, but you need to do quite a lot of configuration. Well, let us take a look at the setup build definition. I'm going to click here, and I'm going to click on edit here. I have a couple of build pipelines set up, or build definitions set up. These are the steps that I think are required to get your application ready to start testing. So, what steps do I have? I have the NuGet restore. NuGet will actually download the packages. You do not have to do a lot of configuration here. I'm going to skip the version assembly here. The versioning step. I actually have a versioning step built in to make sure that my builds are numbered correctly so that I actually can see what is happening so that they're numbered nicely. Then, the first Xamarin-specific one is this Build Xamarin Android project. And what will this do? Well, we are going to be building the CS proj. I'm going to output something. What am I going to be building? What am I going to be outputting? I'm going to place my output in this build configuration. That's a build variable that I've created myself. And that is, in this case, the release build that I'm going to be doing. And so the build configuration is also here. So that's the variable that I've defined here in this variables tab. The next thing I need to do, this one is fine, is actually complete. The next step is signing everything. Because if you want to publish an application to the Google Play Store, it needs to be a signed and zip-aligned application. Signed with your own key store. Creating the key store is out of the scope of this presentation, but it basically is a command line tool that will create the key store for you. You need to upload that in your source control, and you can actually reference it from here. So this is my key store file that I use to sign my applications, and I have to pass it the password as well. I also need to check in this step that I'm zip aligning. Android does not, or Google does not accept non-zip aligned packages. Zip aligning means that that the assembly is basically optimized for use on Android. So that all will be done in this particular step here. And when that is finished, I also have this publish artifact here, and it's going to take the contents of my build configuration, so my release directory, and it's going to drop it on a drop location that I can physically access the output from. When that is all set up, I can click on Q build, and I can actually use this hosted agent here, and I can hit OK, and it will start doing a build for me. So as you can see here, it's now waiting for an agent, and after a couple of seconds, it will start doing the build for me. So that's awesome. Now, I have a couple of builds already set up. So if I go here, you can see the builds which have previously succeeded. So I can go on one of these, I can click on one of these, and I can actually see what happened here. So this is a summary. And I can also go here to the artifacts tab here. And there I can go in the explore. And this contains the contents of my automated build. That's what I actually wanted. So hopefully you can read that here. Let me zoom in. There's an APK there at the top, and that's the one that is ready, signed, zip-aligned, ready to be published to the Google Play Store. There's also an unaligned and an unsigned one. That's not the one I need. So that APK file is now ready to be deployed to Google. All right? Good stuff. Now, Android, as you can see, is actually pretty simple. Things get a bit more complicated when we want to add iOS to the mix. Now, why is iOS a bit more complex? Because iOS requires to have a Mac to do the build. You cannot build an Xamarin iOS application simply on your PC. So Visual Studio Team Services will not be able to build it either. To do the build for iOS, you have two options. Use Mac in Cloud, which is a Mac in the cloud. That's why they got the name from, I think. Or you can also build on your own local Mac. We use Mac in Cloud now. We actually use the Visual Studio Team Services agent option, which is actually pretty cheap. I think it's 30 euros or so per month. And it allows me to connect Visual Studio Team Services with Mac in Cloud and do the build of the iOS application in Mac in Cloud. Alternatively, like I've said, you can also use your own Mac and do the automated build on your own Mac. So you can actually have VSTS connect with your Mac on your desk, do the build, and publish it back to the cloud. It's possible. I've set it up, but I think Mac in Cloud is still the easiest option to get everything up and running. So this is Mac in Cloud. Mac in Cloud actually offers remote Macs that you can take over with remote desktop. I actually use the cheaper option, which is the Visual Studio Team Services agent. That costs a bit less and is always available. It's up and running 24 hours a day. The other ones depend on the amount of time that you use it per day. Also, what Mac in Cloud requires is that you upload your P12 file and your provisioning profile, because the build of the IPA file, the actual iOS application, is going to happen over there. It's going to happen on the Mac in Cloud environment. You have to upload those in Mac in Cloud. And when that is ready, well, then you're basically up and running. You can actually see your agent, I'm going to show you that in just a second, appear over there in Visual Studio Team Services. It will see it automatically because of a key that you're passing it. Microsoft fully supports Mac in Cloud nowadays. And after that, it's pretty much the same. So let me go back to the demo. And first, let's go here. And so this is Mac in Cloud. This is my own demo Mac in Cloud environment, which offers me, so I have a subscription on one of those agents. That's actually the build agent that I have here. And I can go here and I can say, I can click on edit here. And then I can actually configure, and it's weird that this token here is empty, that's not very good. So this is the configuration of my VSTS agent. So it's called MIC, so Mac in Cloud VSTS agent underscore Gilles Clairen, and it's linked with my Visual Studio account. Normally the token should be appearing there, but I think it's new that they hide it now, but anyway. So the token, where do I get it? So how do I link Mac in Cloud with this VSTS agent? Well, I go here and I go to the security tab, if I'm not mistaken. In the security tab, I have to create a new token. That's give you the description. You have to select all scopes, generate a token, and when that is ready, then your token will appear. You paste that into Mac in Cloud, and after a couple of minutes, your agent will appear. So you paste that into Mac in Cloud, and then you go here to Agent Queues. And in Agent Queues, you can see that my VSTS build agent in Mac in Cloud is linked with my Visual Studio Team Services environment. Yeah? So simply by pasting in that token, they know behind the scenes how to communicate with each other. My build environment, my agent will appear here. And from then on, it's actually pretty much the same thing. So when I go here to my explorer of my build definitions, if you look at, let's take this one. So this is the number that also pretty much the same build pipeline. So also NuGet Restore. And in here, in the build step for the iOS application, first, make sure that you only build an iOS solution. Yeah? Do not pass it your solution that contains the Android and the iOS project, because then it will fail, because the Visual Studio Team Services agent does not know how to build an Android application. So it will fail. So what I do is typically I create a solution that only contains the iOS solution, and then it will work. I ask it to create the app package. I also pass here, you have to pass here also the P12 file as well as the provisioning profile to make sure that the application package can be created correctly. And from then on, it's also going to be a drop that I'm doing. I think I should have a couple of builds here. So if I take a look at the builds, you go here to the artifacts, explore here, and then in the iOS bin, I think I've copied a bit too much here, but you should in the end see here the IPA file, the actual iOS application being created correctly. Yeah, that's only possible because we use Mac in Cloud. All right, let's go back here. So now we have the actual application. I'm going to go pretty quickly over this one. I think everyone is familiar with unit tests. Of course, we can integrate unit tests with our Visual Studio Team Services environment. So I'm going to skip this. I think most of you know that a unit test is a small piece of code that can test a small piece of code. In isolation, we are going to typically automate our unit tests, and when we run them independently, they should always be returning us the same results. And so, of course, we can also integrate unit testing with our build pipeline, as you can see here. There's a step in Visual Studio Team Services that allows me to create, for example, unit tests with Visual Studio Test and also make sure that these unit tests get executed. If we take a look at the results, when you run your unit tests as part of your build pipeline, you will also see if your unit tests have failed or ran correctly. So let me go here. And let me quickly jump back to Visual Studio Team Services. Go here and go back to my build definitions. No, my Explorer. I need my Explorer over here. And so, for example, I have this build pipeline for Android with unit testing built in. So adding unit tests is actually going here to the task catalog. And under test, you actually take, in this case, I'm using Visual Studio Test. So I use this particular build step that I add to my build pipeline. As you can see here, now I'm going to build the project, and then I'm also going to build the the unit testing project, and I'm also going to run my unit tests on my test assemblies. If you look now at what happened, I think I should have, there we go. So there's a build over here, and you can also see the test results. So it has now included the test results as part of the build pipeline. Nothing really special. You do this with regular build pipelines as well. Okay. Now back to the slides, because we still have to do some other Xamarin-specific things as well. Now, typically what we have with mobile applications, like I said in the beginning, there's so many devices out there. So we should actually be testing or making sure that the UI looks good on all kinds of different devices. Like I said in the beginning, it's pretty hard to go out and buy all of them. So what Microsoft, or Xamarin, I should now say, is actually Microsoft now, has for this particular problem is something called Xamarin Test Cloud. Xamarin Test Cloud is like the word says itself. It's a cloud for testing your Xamarin applications. They have a physical data center with over 2,000 physical devices laying there in server racks, and you can deploy your application onto those devices, and you can actually see what happened with your application in UI terms, let's say. It's fully integrated in Visual Studio. You can actually build a UI test project, as you can see there in the screenshot, and you can say run this in Test Cloud, but it also fully integrates with Visual Studio Team Services. The good thing is also for C# developers that the UI tests can be written in full completely in C#. You can also do it in Calabash. In the beginning, they only supported Calabash, but now you can also write your tests in plain C#. So it's not really difficult to get started with it. Now, the only thing is that I have a trial account. I have a company account, but I can't show you that because there's other applications in there. And the trial account expired. So I'm going to show you a couple of screenshots that I took before the trial was going to expire. So this is the when you go to testcloud.xamarin.com, you see this. You can actually get started showing creating new projects. You can say, I want to test an Android or an iOS application. When you do that, you can actually select on which devices you want to run your test. Typically, you will not run your test on those 2,000 devices. You will make a sub-selection because there's a cost to basically link to the amount of devices that you're including in your test battery of devices, let's say. That's what you see here. I'm making a selection for a couple of devices that are the most popular ones. If it runs correctly on those, well, then we can be pretty sure that it runs on everything. Not really true, but anyway, let's go for this. When you have executed your tests, you can actually see inside of Test Cloud what is going to be, of what happened, let's say, with your application on those devices. For example, here, you can see on the left your test steps, and you can see that in this case, this test has a couple of tests ran correctly, but one or more have failed. And what Xamarin Test Cloud will do for you, it will actually take screenshots of all those devices so you can verify what your application looked like when those different steps were executing. You can also dive into the logs if you want. You can see more details. You can see the logs all inside of that interface. And here you see a couple of screenshots here that or views that have failed that particular test step. So this is Test Cloud in a standalone way. The good news is also that it is possible to integrate everything into your build pipeline. There is full support for that. If you go here to test again, and down at the bottom you can find a Xamarin Test Cloud step, you add that to your build pipeline, you will actually get the ability to make sure that the push towards Xamarin Test Cloud is part of your build pipeline. As you can see here, there's a couple of things that you have to add, the name of the set of devices that you want to use, of course your API key, and then you can actually see the results directly in here as well. So that's Test Cloud integration. Fully works. Make sure, like I said, it depends on the amount of time that you're using it. If you do this in a continuous integration setup, or continuous build setup, it might end up costing you more because you're constantly pushing, of course, with every check-in to Test Cloud. So make sure that you pay attention to what you're doing there. So that's four steps finished. We have about 10 minutes. It should be okay. So now we have fully tested the application. Now it's time to get it in the hands of our customers, let's say. Typically, the applications that we build, they require us to send the application first to testers. I could, of course, stop here, and I could take the automated build that I got in the drop location to the IPA file or the APK file, and I could send that off to my testers. But if you've ever done some iOS development, you'll know that that's not always easy because of the certification problems with iOS. And for that, we have automated that as well through the use of Hockey App. Now, Hockey App is the web page of Hockey App. It's also acquired by Microsoft. I think it was it early this year or late last year? It's actually a German company, and Microsoft has acquired it as a way of automating everything around Xamarin. It allows us to do two things. Distributing the application within a limited group of beta testers, as well as do monitoring for our applications in terms of crashes, in terms of metrics, and so on. It basically has two main goals. It, by the way, also works for native iOS and native Android applications. It's not tied to only be used from Xamarin. So what we use it for is beta distribution as well as crash reporting. Remember in the beginning you had that option in the application to give feedback? Well, that was also integrated from Hockey App. I'll show you that in just a second. Metrics we can do, it works cross-platform, and it is VSTS compatible. You have to install an extension into Visual Studio Team Services, but then you can actually automate the push towards your beta users automatically from your build pipeline as well. Now, Hockey App has a free plan, so if you want to get started playing with it, they offer a free plan that allows you to test up until two applications. There's support for two applications with unlimited amount of builds. So if you have a new build every day, doesn't matter, it still remains free. So in my account, I have an iOS and an Android version of an app that actually counts as two applications. Yeah? So it's two applications, and then you have to start paying if you want to do more applications. But it's actually still pretty cheap. I'm going to skip this. I'm going to show it in the slides. In the demo. Like I mentioned, by default, it will not show up in Visual Studio Team services. If you want to support Hockey App, you have to install an extension into your VSTS environment. It's pretty simple. You click on get more steps or get more tasks, I think, and then it goes to the marketplace. You search for Hockey App, and it will install it in your VSTS environment. Let me skip this and go directly to the slides. I'm going to go to the demo here. So this is Hockey App. That's the dashboard for Hockey. And as you can see, I have the iOS and the Android application deployed in here. You can do this manually. You can go here to New App, and then you can do the steps. You upload your packages, and then you can distribute from there. That it also supports. However, it's more interesting if everything is integrated in your build pipeline. Let's click on the Android application for now. And then we get the dashboard for this particular application. An application has an ID. There's a couple of versions here. And down here at the bottom, you can also see quite a few metrics that my application, or that Hockey App, let's say, is generating for my application automatically as well. Back at the top, there's a couple of other tabs that I'll show you just in a minute. Now, how do I get started setting up Visual Studio Team Services with Hockey App? First, you go to the settings. And in the settings, you go to API tokens. You generate a token. That's what you see here down at the bottom. And then you go back to Visual Studio Team Services. You copy this token. And you go here. And you go to the settings again, to the control panel. And then I think it's services. And here you have a new service endpoint button that allows you to say, I want to link Hockey App. I want to link my Hockey App account. You do that, and then you enter your API key, and automatically your environment, your VSTS environment, is linked with Hockey App. One more thing that you need to do, like I said, is you have to install Visual Studio Team Services extensions for this, one extension. So when I go here and go on edit, for example, I took the wrong one, I think. Yes. This one, you click on add build step, because initially you have to install the extension manually. So you click down here on this button here. The page is again very slow. And then you search for Hockey App. It should normally be somewhere here at the top as well, but you search here for Hockey App. And then it can be installed inside of your VSTS environment. So click on install, or you can click download if you have an on-prem TFS. You click on install, and it will install it for you in VSTS. Once you have that, you go here to Hockey App. I think it's over here. Deploy your applications to beta testers. Click on this step. And then you add this step to your build definition, your build pipeline. Let's take the Android one. This one. I wanted to show the Android one. So here is the Android version. What am I going to be using here? Let's make it a bit larger. So this is the name, the ID of my connection with Hockey App back in that services window. The app ID. Every app gets an ID in Hockey App. That was the app ID that you could see over here. That's this one. That was this app ID. I copied that into VSTS. I said to VSTS, which APK does it need to deploy to Hockey App? And then most importantly, or very useful, let's say, is I want to do the publish, and I also want to notify users. I can automatically let Hockey App send an email to all the users that are linked in Hockey App, and they will get an email that says, well, there's a new version out there. Click here to download it, and it will automatically be on the latest build. And how do you do that? Well, it's pretty simple. You go back here, and over here in users, You can add users. We typically add the beta testers in here. And every time a new build is published, well, they will get an email, they can install it, and they're automatically on the latest version. I have a couple of screenshots here. And you can see here, that was too fast. Then we have the mail that is arriving. You can click on download and install, and automatically you will get this thing here. So that's the web interface for a hockey app on the mobile device. It's the, their app, let's say. You can see the details. What you can also add readme to say what was changed. There's a history. What versions do we have? As well as a feedback tab where you can also send back feedback. Let's skip this. And then the last thing is the monitoring part. I remember that in that life cycle, we had one step where we could also monitor what is happening with our device once it's not in our control anymore, once we're not using it on our own PC, but when it's in the hand of the user. So if we want to monitor that, well, Hockey App can also help us with that. And it can do that in a couple of ways. We can get crash reports. That's important because we don't know what is happening out there. The user is also capable of sending feedback. You can actually, like you saw in the beginning, add a button somewhere that allows the user, the beta user, to send feedback. Of course, in the real application, you will not do that. That's just for beta testing. You can get back metrics. You can also see how many times did the user click on this particular button to see if the interface is correct, to see that parts of the user interface are easily accessible and so on. And it can also, for example, with that feedback, include screenshots, something failed and so on. We'll do that at the end. So that's what Hockey App can offer us. Well, let's go to the demo. And so what you need to do for that is actually pretty simple. You have to add a couple of references which is a NuGet package. I think I had it here as a component package, but it's also available via NuGet. So in the Android application, I've added this component, the Hockey App component. And once I have that, I can register my application with the Crash Manager, which will automatically capture crashes. And when the application starts the next time, you get, as the user, the ability to send that feedback back to the Hockey App backend. You can also use this for production. This is not just for beta testing. You can use the crash reporting and the crash manager for distribution of the released version as well. The metrics manager allows us to, well, track events, do custom tracking, how many times did the user click on this particular button, and you will get, we will see that feedback in the backend as well. And then the feedback manager is the one that I showed you that actually showed that interface to show that pop-up with user feedback. Let's, for fun now, go back here. The application crashed the last time, so it is doing this update thing here. The application crashed, and because Hockey App was integrated, it notices that it crashed the previous time. So when we now restart the application, we will see here that we can send feedback to Hockey App. So when we click on Send Report, the pop-up goes away, and then we go back to Hockey App, and there's now 5 crashes, and if the demo gods are with me, I click here, there's indeed six crashes, so that that new crash was automatically captured already by Hockey App. And when you go here, you can actually click on these, you can get back a stack trace, you can see more information about the devices, the version of the operating system, and so on. So all the information that is relevant for you as a developer to know what failed is available directly here in Hockey App. Hockey App, that's the word. All right, so I'm out of time. I actually was pretty much finished. So that was the screenshots from the things that I showed you. So I hope that I've convinced you that mobile DevOps for Xamarin applications is the next step. It will allow us to get our applications in the hands of the user much faster. And using, of course, Visual Studio Team Services makes this process a lot simpler. I want to thank you for your attention. If there's any questions, feel free to come forward. I hope you enjoyed it and enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you.